Now, for the rest of us, join with me in prayer. Faithful God, you chose Mary, full of grace, to be the mother of our sovereign and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now fill us with your grace that with her we may understand your ways, rejoice in your salvation, and embrace your will. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now, sorry for the people on the computer. I'm going to need to have to indicate, if you don't mind, when to switch the slides. So if you want to start with the first one. Now, the Scary Mummy website claims that mums are way funnier than dads. Just don't tell them that. Now, I'm not sure I believe that claim, so let's test it out with a few mum jokes, okay? Next slide. So a daughter turns to a mother and says, "Mom, I need my personal space." To which her mother says, "You came out of my personal space." Just let that sit for a minute. Not let those images get too clear in your mind. Now, you know you're a mom when you understand why Mama Bear's porridge was too cold. I don't get it. I really don't understand that. If you understand why Mama Bear's porridge was too cold, you might be a mother. One other daughter said, "Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world?" To which her mother said, "I'm not sure, dear. Go ask your grandmother." Now, they tell us that silence is golden. Unless you have kids, that is, then it's suspicious. You know you're a mom when picking up another human to smell their butt isn't only normal, but necessary. And finally, why is Mother's Day before Father's Day? So the kids can spend all their Christmas money on mom. Now, I don't know. I'm not really sure those are better than father's jokes or dad's jokes. We can agree to disagree, but I'm going to err on the side of caution because I think the mothers take precedence today, right? Next slide, thanks. Now, I'm currently reading a book by writer Jack Donovan. Jack Donovan rose to prominence for his contributions to the Manosphere, which is a collection of websites, blogs, and online forums where they promote masculinity, misogyny, and strong opposition to feminism in varying degrees. Now, the book I'm reading is called Fire in the Dark. Fire in the Dark, and it explores common themes found in the masculine myths and stories from all of the world's religions. Now, I find Donovan's analysis quite compelling, and it's very informative, there's no doubt. But he has a clear bias against Judeo-Christian religion, which is shown by his complete lack of reference to it. Next slide. Now, that's not entirely surprising that he would ignore the Judeo-Christian religions, because from my own research into the Greco-Roman conceptions of masculinity during Jesus' time, that research has shown that while Jesus' behavior would have been understood as being quite manly, his death was not manly. For the torture of crucifixion was specifically oriented toward humiliating and unmanning its victims. Thus, it served to thoroughly demean and to disempower Jesus, to ultimately, in that time, to feminize him. So Donovan is probably repelled by Christianity because he sees it as not conforming to the type of masculinity he promotes and sees in other cultures and religions. But when we look at the writings of the Bible, we see how masculine language and images are often used to help us understand our Lord's nature and work, yet there are also many places where feminine language and images are used. In this way, especially in the New Testament, the biblical authors emphasize how Christianity conforms to the Greco-Roman values of the time, even as it challenges those values in very significant ways. So today, we are giving thanks to God for the gift of mothers and the mother-like nurture that many people show to others in their lives. So then let us consider together a variety of biblical texts that explore mothering images for God. For instance, let's start in the prophecies of Isaiah, where there are two passages containing mothering images for God. Next slide. We read, as I think Tim was referring to in Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. See, Jesus made it clear his friends are free to refer to and to interact with God as our Heavenly Father. Yet, we should not therefore neglect interacting with God as our Heavenly Mother too. For even in the Bible, God is referred to as a mother. Now, why would they choose that language? Because mothers are more stereotypically associated with the raising of daughters, yet sons too need the unique parenting style of a mother for his holistic development. So to be a whole person, daughters need fathers as well as mothers, and sons need mothers as well as dads. We need both parents. Each one of us needs to be comforted, even to the point of being carried or cuddled in a mother's arms. We should not shy away from receiving nor giving such tender care. And the biblical writers want us to know that we can receive such tenderness, such comfort, such cuddling, even from our Creator God. Next passage comes from Isaiah chapter 49, where we read, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you." So Isaiah wrote about the comfort, but then he also wrote that God would not forget us. He knows each of us intimately, like a mother knows her own children. And God cares for us to the very same degree. Yet while we may have experienced neglect or abuse at the hands of our mothers at some time or other, the biblical writers want us to know we will only ever receive faithful, tender care from our Creator God, who will never forget us nor lack compassion for us. Now, even that most biblical, manly of men, King David, apparently wrote that in God's presence, he was quiet and at peace, trusting his God like a child safe in his mother's arms. For we read in our next passage from Psalm 131, Instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like a weaned child. See, to David, by faith, he understood the tender care of God to be like that received by a child from his or her mother. This is the image of a child who is no longer fed directly by his mother, yet continues to return to her for comfort and for the stability of her love. There are and there will be many times in life when we don't feel protected nor provided for. When we feel as if we don't know who is for us or who is against us. Well, in times like that, whether those times be real or imagined, we know we can return to our mother for a comforting hug. Well, that same comfort, provision, and protection is experienced by those who trust God and place their faith in Him. Now, as I've also already mentioned, Jesus was a quintessential Greco-Roman man. Yet we find an example in his own teaching where Jesus spoke of himself as a mother, longing to wrap his arms around us. Next slide. Where he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, the tender care of our Lord is such that he yearns to protect us from the forces and circumstances and situations that threaten to overwhelm or to oppress us. Even when those are our own doing, the results of our own ignorance or negligence. Jesus wants to gather us in to protect us and to care for us. See, in this passage, Jesus knew the sociocultural circumstances of the time would lead to the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem and the violent quashing of a Jewish revolt. He knew that was coming because he knew the signs of the times. He knew the heart of the people, the angst that they felt. And he knew that it was not too much longer and that was going to bubble over and there was going to be violence. So knowing this suffering was coming, Jesus yearned to protect the people of Jerusalem. Yet he also knew that this suffering would be caused by their own attitudes and behaviors. While it was the Romans who squashed the revolt, it was their behaviors that led them to revolt in the first place. The Romans would not have been so violent to them if they had just kept their heads down. Our Lord knows our heart, and he knows the consequences that we suffer because our previous sin and our ongoing mistakes. He knows where that's going to lead us. He knows what we're going to experience because of our previous sin and our previous mistakes, yet he allows us to learn, even as he yearns to protect us, just as a mother hen would protect her chicks. Now, moving on from Jesus, we find the Apostle Paul wrote about his missionary ministry and likened his own work to that of a nurse who looks after those in her care. Next slide. The Apostle Paul wrote, although we could have been a burden, although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nurse nurses her own children. See, the tender care of our leaders in the church should be like that of a mother who acts to nurse others and to do so with skill and compassion in her duties, but does so for her own children out of love. See, a nurse is skilled to be compassionate, and they do their job. But when a mother takes those same skills and applies it to her children, she does so skillfully, but she does so because she loves them and wants the best for them and to give her children her own best. Now, a mother has every right to make demands of her children in light of her own suffering endured. Yet she does not, or at least should not, make demands on the children, but neither does our Creator God. So neither should we for each other. While not as plentiful as the masculine language and images we find in the Bible, the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit are not limited to those masculine images. The scriptures include feminine language and feminine images, even likening our God and our Lord as a mother. And that is okay. See, in these passages, God is likened to the best of mothers and the best of mothering. So this presumes that we know what are the best practices for mothering attitudes and behavior inherently. We know how a mother should act. We know how she should feel towards us. We expect it because deep down in our bones, that is what a mother is defined by. Those attitudes and those behaviors. So that's what we look for. So since our Creator God, who is perfect in his nature and his works, he epitomizes truth, goodness, and beauty, then any likeness to a mother, or for a father, for that matter, any likeness of God to being like a mother would be the perfect representation of a mother. So if our Creator God provides such provision and protection, comfort and care as does a mother, and does so perfectly, well, this then begs the question, why don't our mothers, or even why don't we ourselves, always do such? We know what is the best a mother can be and do. We have an example of that in our God. And yet, sometimes we fall short of that standard. Well, to celebrate mothers and mothering is not to deny the times when we fail or when circumstances rob us of our mothers. But to celebrate Mother's Day is to acknowledge our hurt can be balanced by joy. As you strive to be a mother or to care like a mother, seek to do so as our God does, following Jesus' example. Let us keep in mind all the ways our God is like a mother to us. Let us keep in mind He is like a mother to us as much as like a father to us. And as the best possible parent, let us follow Jesus' example in His perfect revelation of God, that we too may be the best possible parents and role models that we can be, as we love our families and we lead others in our spheres of influence. Let us conclude by praying together for mothers and for those who had cared for us like mothers. Let us pray for those carrying hurt and needing comfort. Let us pray for those needing provision and protection. Thank you, Barry.
Continuing that theme, let us all bow in prayer. Loving God, we give thanks today for mothers. Thank you for the mothers who gave birth to us, the women who have treated us as their own children. You teach mothers how to be good mothers, cherishing and protecting the children among us. Help all to mother lovingly, fairly, wisely, and with great joy. Help all mothers to raise children to the people they were born to be. We need your comfort here today, God, because some are missing mothers. Some are missing children. Some are parted by distance or death. Comfort those who have given up their children for adoption or who have chosen not to give birth or had an abortion. Comfort those who long to be biological mothers and could not. We pray for those here whose mothers have disappointed them. We ask for grace in relationships where there is pain and bitterness, for healing in relationships where there is abuse and violence. Help our congregation to be a space where people can feel mothered, their gifts and talents appreciated and nurtured. And finally, we pray today for mothers around the world, mothers who cannot feed their children, mothers who are homeless or without a homeland, mothers who must teach their children about the dangers of bombs and bullets. Father, help us create a world where mothers can raise their children in peace and plenty. God of mothers who created mothers, who came as a child and had a mother, loving God who loves with a sweeter and deeper love than we have ever known, hear our prayer this day in Jesus' name. Amen.